Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans Podcast starts right now.
Hello, buddy, and welcome to another edition of the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans. I'm Gus Kattengill. I'll be joined along with Jim Eichenhoff of Pelicans.com. Still playing basketball this week. Pelicans last night taking on the Lakers. Win and get in. If the Pels would have been able to get the victory, they would have been the seventh seed and taken on the Denver Nuggets. They fall to the Lakers, however, 110-106 behind a fantastic performance by Zion Williamson. 40 points for him. He gets injured, though. Three and some change to go. We await to see the latest with him. We're going to talk a lot about that coming up in our next segment with Will Guillory of The Athletic. He saw him leave the arena. We'll get into that here. We'll also set up what it sets up on Friday. It is a win-or-go-home game at that point, as he would take on the Sacramento Kings, a team that New Orleans has beaten five times already this season. That is an 8:30 tip at the Smoothie King Center. Winner will be the eighth seed, and it will take on Oklahoma City starting on Sunday. That schedule's out. Jim and I will go through that air as well. It is a very spread out first round set of games, as that first game at the Smoothie King Center, if they make it, won't be until the following Saturday on the 27th. So we'll get into all of that and more. First off, though, a tough loss. Head coach Willie Green.
Obviously, tough loss for us. The guys battled. I'm extremely proud of that group, how they fought. They hung in there, and we got back in the game by just simply upping our physicality, keeping them out of our paint, and being scrappy. We fell short and that's the disappointing part. But, you know, we got to feel this one tonight and regroup and get ready for another one.
As we bring in Jim Eichenhoff for now, look, here's the thing. Obviously, the loss is tough. We thought we'd see a better performance. We did. It was a battle. Let's just start with the biggest positive, though. Zion Williamson dropping 40, the way he played last night, Jim.
Yeah, it was tremendous. I mean, I felt really good for him. Just the way he played, he'd been waiting his entire career to be in the postseason, and hopefully he'll be able to make a playoff appearance as well very soon. But he was just outstanding. I mean, his ability to get to the basket, it was kind of him in his best form, where he's slicing through openings in the defense, getting to the rim, getting layups, just kind of taking over parts of the game. He also had a good rebounding night, and I think he did some good stuff on defense as well, even though you might not see it from just the one steal and one block he had on the stat sheet. So it was awesome. It was one of those things that made you think, you know, for me, just – not only just this season, but the future for him is so bright. And then unfortunately with three something left in the fourth quarter, he gets hurt and goes to the locker room and everybody's wondering what's going on. And it was just, you know, they don't end up closing out the game. I think it was tied maybe when he left. And the way he was playing, you think, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say this, and who knows, but it felt like they could have, should have, maybe would have won the game if he had stayed in.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you say stayed in because he gets the bucket, and he gets his 40th point, and I don't even think two-thirds. I don't think most of the arena knew that he was injured in that game because he saw him pull the jersey over his head. I think a lot of people thought maybe it was his yelling, mm-hmm. excited, goes to the bench, and then I really didn't know either. Aaron Summers on our broadcast is going, Zion's going into the tunnel. And Todd and JD are like, what are you talking about? Like, no one saw it happen. It wasn't something that was very obvious where you saw him grimace, grab something, or anything of that nature. However, the TNT broadcast replay showed him immediately tap to his chest, point to the sideline, walk, not run, throw the towel down, and then you just went, come on. And it was crazy because you still had three and some change left, and the Pels could have still won that game, except for some free throws, which we won't get into. You know what? I'm not going to get into it. It's bad enough that Z got injured. I'm not going to get into the free throw disparity in a four-point game, which is remarkable, where the Pelicans had four free throw attempts in the entire first half behind the greatest defensive performance you've ever seen in a... Anyway, back to the point that I was saying. Did I tell you that LeBron and AD had more free throw attempts than the entire Pelicans team? Just those two?
You didn't tell me that, okay, but I would believe that, though.
Okay, well, it happened. So the point, though, being it was crazy because you felt that the fans really kind of get into it, and here it comes, and then that sort of happened. But here we are, right? Is that the hardest thing for this team to do? To be able to get ready to play in 2 days. Is it getting over it emotionally or mentally, or maybe the good news or whatever news may help on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, whatever news we hear, I think it is probably positive that the game isn't until Friday, because if they had to turn around tonight and play another game or tomorrow, I think with the situation the way it is now, I think they'll have a lot more time to prepare for Sacramento and Friday's game either way, knowing that they definitely won't have Zion or knowing that he's definitely going to play. So that part helps. But, I mean, I do think that if Zion isn't able to play, they're going to have to go back to the well that they did all season where they were able to win games when he wasn't available. If you look at the season series against the Kings, he played in four of the five games. The Pelicans actually only had five players who played in all five games against the Kings in those head-to-head matchups. So, I mean, they won with various rotations, various lineups, different starters. Among the five guys that played in every game, Cody Zeller was one of them. So, I mean, you're really talking four guys among the rotation who were available for all of those. So that's what they're going to have to go to if Zion is out, is just the fact that they have been able to play extremely well against Sacramento, even in once without Zion. But also, CJ missed two of those games. B.I. missed one of those games. It's just been unbelievable, though, how dominant the Pelicans have been against Sacramento. And that's what they're going to have to go back to, I guess, on Friday if Zion can't play, is, you know, they've been able to do so well against the Kings. And Will Guillory is going to talk about just the matchup. It just seems to be very favorable for the Pelicans. So if you want to be optimistic and hopeful about Friday, I think that's some of the things you think about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what? Let's just get into that conversation. We'll do that. We got a lot to get into in terms of the matchups, the Western Conference. All that schedule came out. I'm sitting there trying to process what just happened last night. And between 12 and 12:30, it was an NBA communications dumpy. Here's the whole schedule. We got all of that. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that more. But up next, let's chat with Will Guillory of The Athletic.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. at retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hi, Mr. Jim Eichenhofer here to give us perspective, maybe a little pep talk. Here he comes, Will Guillory. The Athletic covers your New Orleans Pelicans, the Miami Heat, the NBA, the works. He was there. Sir, first off, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. I can just feel the depression in the air throughout the city. I don't see anybody like outside, like riding their bike or walking the dog. It's just a lot of sorrow right now. So I'm gonna just chill out and I'm gonna just wait a little later before I go outside.
In back-to-back games, you're talking about sorrow, gut punches in different manners. How well Sunday? What an atmosphere! And everyone was waiting for that, and it wasn't a competitive game. We get to Tuesday night. I think we all believe we'd see a better performance. They're getting there. They're trying to come back. Lakers make that run. And then we waited 5 years for Zion to be in the postseason. And there he is. Alley-oop dunk tied at, what, 93 or 95. Crowds going bananas. The very next, he gets to 40. Timeout, Lakers. Everyone's going nuts. And then my phone starts going off. Wait, where's Zion? Why is he not there? Two completely different gut punches, though, at the same time against the same team.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sunday was probably less gut-punching, more like, oh, what the hell was that? You know, like, we all come in expecting them to have this, you know, big coronation, 50 wins, earn your playoff spot, you know, vanquish the bitter rivals in the Los Angeles Lakers, and then you, like, don't even show up. So it was less like a heartbreaking, like, man, what was that? Like, what happened? Like, where were they? But, you know, that game last night, that was you know, one of the more heartbreaking losses I've seen in that building. Just because, one, it was Zion Williamson playing the best game of his career. You know, a whole bunch of people doubting him coming off of a bad game on Sunday. And to perform the way he did in that game, literally putting the team on his back with B.I. playing poorly. CJ having his worst game in weeks, was literally carrying them down the stretch, scored 12 of the last 15 points as the Pels, you know, tied that game up after being down 18, and then out of nowhere he's just gone. And it's just like, what happened? Like, we were about to, you know, have Anthony Davis with a sad face leaving the building, and then, you know, it's just another, and then on top of that is another Zion Williamson injury. Discussions about what is the injury? How long is he going to be out? What's going on? We're back to this rather than talking about him having, you know, the most epic performance in his career.
Will, I saw you tweeted, speaking of that, late last night, you tweeted about how you observed Zion walking out of the building. What did you see? I mean, that tweet got, we've had way too much discussion about injuries since I've been here, and sometimes I feel like I would have been smart to learn a little bit more medical information and stuff like that. But, I mean, that tweet got 1,100 likes. I mean, what did you see as far as him after the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, our initial move after the game was to walk into the locker room and look to see what Zion was doing, where he was at. you know, if he had his leg wrapped up, if we were even going to see him at all. I mean, Jim, you and I have been in a whole lot of post-game locker rooms after Anthony Davis injuries where you don't even see him.
Right.
Because he's in the back getting treatment, or, you know, he's getting iced up, or he just leaves the building because he doesn't want people to see him all beat up. And after that game, it really shocked me to see Zion, you know, didn't have the leg wrapped up. He was sitting there talking to his teammates. I think it was a really good sign that I don't think it was as bad as some people thought. You know, I think my initial reaction when it happened was like, man, did he pull his hammy again? Was it something similar that happened the last season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he missed the last 45 games of the year. And I think just off of, you know, my expert medical analysis of just watching a guy sit at his locker, I don't think it's anything as serious as that. And seeing him leave the building without a limp, without, you know, any, you know, big wrap on his leg, I think is a positive sign. But, you know, it's all going to come down to the MRIs today and what the doctors say about his leg and if he'll be able to get on a practice court Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the initial signs just seeing him after the game were positive, and just seeing him, you know, laughing with his teammates and stuff like that.
All right, let's talk about this like medical experts would. Will, if there were a swarm of bees following him, could he run to his car? In your expert opinion.
I think that he would probably just send my guy Chico, shout out to Chico, the security guy.
Take but the bee stings?
Like, Chico, just handle the bees for me.
Okay. I was just trying to
jump in front of the bees for me.
You know, light rain, could he jog to the car? Is he getting wet? Does he? No, look, because here's the thing. Obviously, when you see the reports and Shams, you know, hammy and all of this other stuff, when you think of that, you think of the Philadelphia game, right? And I'm trying to compare and contrast. Well, I don't know if you saw him after that game, or if we saw him after that, it ain't comparing and contrasting the mood and things that ain't true. But you would think, based off that reaction when he comes off the court, jersey over his head, towel being slammed down, he was upset he was coming out the game. To your point, I think what you're trying to say is you didn't see that afterwards, which leads you to believe that there's hope, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what you wanted to see, just what his mood was like, how he was feeling. I think that'll tell you the story a lot of time more than the medical update from the team, right? I've been in locker rooms. You know, you can say it as well, Gus and Jim can say it, that we've been in locker rooms where the team knew we just lost our star.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah,
we just
good
lost
point.
A guy for
good
the
point.
Season. And that wasn't the mood in that locker room. The guys were, of course, really upset. They were going through some of the plays late in the game. You saw Larry Nance and CJ, Jose Alvarado sitting around going over some stuff, talking about what went wrong, what happened. But it wasn't just like the heavy mood. Like, I was in that locker room after DeMarcus Cousins tore his Achilles. It felt like a weight was on everybody's shoulder. It felt like it was a funeral in there. And it just wasn't like that last night, which I think is a good sign. But again, we're just kind of talking off of – we're just kind of talking and without any real knowledge. I think
right.
We'll find out more once the results come out.
Nope, I'm good. I'm going to go tweet it right now. Will Guillory says we'll see Zion on Friday. but to the point, and I know Jim wants to follow up here too, it's just you do understand it and feel that. And I love what you just said, though, that you're feeling that, because I think that's the proper way to look at yesterday's performance and loss there as well, where you had this magnificent performance by Zion, and we're going to get into it. I know Jim has some questions too, as to, you know, the struggles with B.I. in this offense since his return. CJ, his struggles at home from shooting beyond the arc, just shooting threes overall. But the fact that you could sit there and look at, hey, we could have done this. These are the things that you could have done better. You look at that game, that's a game that was winnable. That's a game that you could have won if other guys kind of step up and do what they're capable of. It, I think that makes me feel better, right? Does that make sense, Will? Because in the past, when you play certain games or certain teams, you're like, you just can't beat them, or you don't have the weapons, or you just don't have the answers to that. And I didn't feel that yesterday to an extent.
No, and Caesar said it after the game. He was like, if I play well, we win this game. And to be honest, I agree with him. I think if you don't even have to get the 30-point, you know, 8 3-pointer game from CJ that you were getting on the road these past couple times out. If you just got a regular 18-point night from CJ last night, I think they win that game. I think it was just everything kind of went wrong with CJ having a bad night, B.I. losing his rhythm after starting off pretty well. Trey Murphy, you know, wasn't really in rhythm until late. He had a couple bombs from deep. But it just felt like nobody outside of Zion could get anything going on offense. And it just felt like they were stuck in mud for a good portion of that second and third quarter. And, you know, with LeBron, we said it after the Sunday game, when he smells blood, he goes for the throat. And he kind of saw it. He felt it in the building when they had all of those possessions that ended in shot clock violations or guys turning the ball over, and they just pushed that lead out to the point where it was just tough for the Pelicans to make it up. And I think you saw at the end of that game, him and AD were just worn out. I leaned over to Jim in the third quarter, and I was like, man, AD's not moving well. And you saw it, you know, at the end of that game yeah. where those guys looked like they were running out of gas. And, again, that's what makes the Zion injury so tough, because you felt him the same way we talked about LeBron smelling blood. I think you saw Zion smell blood at the end of that game. You saw him kind of sense that they were wearing out, and he was just walking them down. And I think it's just super tough for it to end that way. And I think, you know, the fact that B.I. is just not right yet coming off of that knee just makes it really tough, because I think it's such a tough balance for Willie Green to find, whether you want, you know, one of your best players to kind of find it and get back right before the playoffs, but also you're concerned about breaking the rhythm of everybody else when they were playing so well on the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point about the way the game was kind of ending for the Lakers, it seemed like LeBron came up short on a couple layups too. It's something that you never see, where it's like he didn't really have the lift to get the ball up over the rim a couple times, and that was very beneficial to the Pelicans as well. You know, before we get into other stuff, including, you know, Friday's game now set up against Sacramento, I wanted to quickly go back to one more thing about Zion. And I want to preface this too. I maybe should have said this earlier. I mean, we're recording this at 10 a.m. or so on Wednesday, and it's possible that by the time this pod gets posted, or by the time some people get a chance to listen to it, we'll have further information and more details that will make some of what we've discussed, you know, moot point or irrelevant, or, you know, not, it's not going to be the most up-to-date news. But I wanted to go back to one of the things that you said about Zion in terms of just how well he played. I mean, what did you think, what were some of your takeaways in terms of, you know, before the injury, just how well he played in his first postseason game? And I understand it's, this kind of reminds me of the line that people always say of like, well, but how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Because obviously his injury kind of overshadowed everything else. But I mean, what was your impressions of just how well he played in his first chance to be on a stage like that?
No, and I feel like I've said this a couple times in the past few months, but I really think it was the best game I've seen him play. And it wasn't just the box score, and it wasn't just him getting 10 rebounds or him closing out. I just think the consistent attack mode he was in throughout the night, even though things were going wrong, even when they were behind by double digits, he just continued to attack. It wasn't pretty. The Lakers were crowding the paint. You know, LeBron was sagging off him. AD was waiting for him at the rim, and he just consistently got to his spots. He played with speed. He played with force. He scored in double digits all four quarters, which lets you know this wasn't a game where he just got hot at some point. It was just consistent throughout the night, him getting to the lane, him hitting shots. He hit a couple mid-range jumpers, which we call for, you know, a lot this season. Like I said, he was hitting the boards, which allowed him to get out in transition and you know, attack early before the Lakers were able to set their defense. I thought he was sensational, man. I thought he did so much to lift that team up when they were kind of dead in the water, especially during those stretches when it was clear that CJ and Trey just didn't have it from the three-point line. And he just continued to give them life, continued to make plays, put his body on the line. I really thought he was on the verge of doing something special last night. And, you know, it was really great to see him respond, you know, not just being in his first postseason game, but respond to that game he had on Sunday where he came in yep. afterwards and was like, I was just too passive. I mm-hmm. wasn't aggressive enough. I let them dictate how I played. And he came out and said, regardless of what happens, regardless of how this game looks, I'm not going to go out without firing everything that I got. And I thought it was so impressive to see him kind of lay it all on the line the way he did. And like I said, if he just got, you know, just a normal game out of CJ or a normal game out of B.I., I thought that would have been enough. But the fact that he didn't allow that to deter him, I just thought it was really impressive, and I thought it showed a sign of growth for him and just his mentality on that stage, where we've seen in the past where big games, Zion's had some really poor moments, but mm-hmm. I think it – you know, I said it in my tweet and in my story this morning. That was the game Pelicans fans have been waiting 5 years to see from Zion Williamson. It wasn't just the score or the box or what he did at the end. It was a big moment, big stage against Anthony Davis, him showing up. And it's just really unfortunate it ended the way he did.
And look, and here's the realization. Speak with Will Guillory. The Athletic covers the NBA, the Pelicans, and the Heat here as well. You have a game Friday, and you're going to take on the Sacramento Kings, who won last night 118-94. And Will, to your point that you're making too, De'Aaron Fox dropped 24. We know what he can do. Sabonis had 16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. But Keegan Murray, 32 points because of 8 threes. I was texting back and forth after I got home after the game to a couple of people on the radio side of things. I'm like, it's the 3-point shooting that's so key and crucial. Will, the 3-point shot just, it isn't the same at home as it is on the road. We can look at Sunday. We can look at yesterday. On Friday, the Pelicans are going to have to get 3-point shooting if they want to win that game Friday, huh?
There's no doubt. And especially if Zion Williamson isn't playing, they're definitely going to need the 3-ball, especially for C.J. McCollum. And I think, man, I'm telling you, it's at the point now where I think if I was Willie, I would try to change something up. I would do a shoot around at the arena.
I've been saying
I don't know what I would do, man. It just feels so strange that they shoot the ball so differently on the road than they do at home. I haven't seen anything like it before, especially with guys like CJ and Trey, who are 40% shooters, not even 40, closer to like 42-43% type guys, and they just consistently just can't find a rhythm at home for whatever reason. So, yeah, I would, if I was them, I would do shoot around at the arena on Friday. I would try to get something going. Just because it's so strange that they can't get it. And you felt it last night, man. That rainbow three-pointer, Trey Murphy hitting the fourth quarter, I mean, that's the loudest I've heard that arena in a long time. But you just felt how much that those shots swung the momentum, especially when Trey gets going, man, that the crowd feeds off it. They love it because he's hitting the shots from so deep, and he gets to celebrating. And those moments just weren't there. And you saw it, like you said, with Keegan Murray last night in Sacramento, where he gets hot and that crowd feeds off of him for whatever reason. The fans just love seeing that 3-ball go in. And they just couldn't get those big momentum swings last night when they needed it against the Lakers. So, yeah, you're going to need CJ and Trey to shoot the ball well against Sacramento. And, you know, I'm not going to be the first or last person to say this, but beating the team 6 times in one season is crazy. and I'm sure the Kings are going to come in and try to lay it all on the line and not be the butt of that joke. So you got to come in with the right mentality and knocking down some shots, because I guarantee the Kings do not want to lose to the same team 6 times in one season, because I might even throw a few memes out there if that happens.
I'll tell you what, Jim Eichenhofer just grabbed the Sharpie. He grabbed the sheet of paper and he wrote practice at the SKC Thursday, 10 a.m. And he's making his way across the parking lot as we speak. 133-100, Will Guillory. Does that sound familiar? That was a game in which the Pelicans beat the Kings without Zion Williamson. Now, to the point we're currently talking about, Brandon Ingram had 15 points. He had a 3, but C.J. McCollum dropped 30, had 7. The team as a whole had 19 made 3-pointers. By the way, that game was on the road. But that's the point. If you don't have Zion, and I know this game's going to be talked about a lot if Zay doesn't play. Hey, they've done it before. They did. But they shot the 3-ball, and that's why I brought it up. It's going to be key. CJ, others have got to knock down shots.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned B.I. having 15 points in that game, but I thought his impact was so much greater than what that final box score was. His ability to set Trey up, set CJ up, I thought was huge in that game, and I think you've seen that a few times this year from B.I., where his scoring line wasn't that great, but he's creating shots for everybody. He's getting into the lane. He's forcing the defense to focus on him, and it's allowing everybody else to get easier shots. And I think just not having him be him, I think it's been a real detriment to what they've done these last 2 games. I think you see him trying to find it, trying to get himself going, trying to hit the shots we're used to seeing from him, and he just can't get it consistently going. And it's tough to try to find that in these type of games where, you know, there's so much on the line. Every single missed shot feels like it's such a big deal. And I feel bad for him, man, because you can tell he really wants it. You saw the frustration on his face late in the game where Willie basically benched him and CJ. You know, he kind of left the arena early last night just kind of being out of frustration, and I get it. You know, but I think that would be a huge help in that game on Friday. If you can get B.I. into the lane, creating some of those corner 3-pointers, I think that would make life easier for everybody.
You know, Will, it's interesting to me because as I watched the game last night, and I watched B.I. and C.J. both have rough shooting games. I think the thing that's tough for both of those guys, but maybe Ingram even more so, they take so many tough shots. So it's like just on a good night, it seems like they take a lot of tough shots. But when you're struggling from the field the way they both were last night, it seems like it's even harder to kind of get out of a bad shooting night because, I mean, Ingram's taken, you know, turnarounds with a guy in his face. Yeah. C.J. took a couple.
Good point.
Kind of on the move. There was one three-pointer he took in particular, I remember. He was going right to left and shot it on a fast break. Didn't have his feet set and missed. So that's the tough part. I feel like sometimes they just need to be able to figure out a way to get easier shots for those guys when they have nights where they're struggling. And usually if you can get a layup or maybe even an open mid-range shot or even something wide open, it usually helps. But, you know, one last thing I was going to mention to you, Will, I was wondering your opinion on was, so I know over the next 48 hours there's going to be a ton of discussion, obviously, about the Pelicans going 5-0 against Sacramento in the regular season, which no team has done in the last 20 seasons of the NBA, partly because it was impossible to play a team more than four times prior to this year. But what's your takeaway is from the season series against them? Is it, do you lean more towards, you know, that just for whatever reason, this is a really tough, difficult matchup for Sacramento, or is it just that the Pelicans just happen to play extremely well in most of those games, or some combination of the two that yielded the results that we got?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a little bit of both, but I lean a little bit more about with them just being a really bad matchup for Sacramento, which is hilarious because we talked about this last night where it's like the Pelicans are a really bad matchup for the Kings, but the Kings are a really bad matchup for the Lakers.
Right.
The Lakers are a really bad matchup for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like this big circle. But I think, you know, I think the size that the Pelicans has on the wing, I think it just gives the Kings a lot of trouble, especially, you know, when they don't have all of their guys healthy. They're missing Kevin Herter. They're missing Malik Monk. I think the amount of pressure it puts on Fox to create consistently, and the Pelicans are able to throw Herb Jones, they're able to throw Dyson Daniels at him, and it makes life really difficult. And I think having Sabonis at center, a smaller guy with shorter arms, it just makes it so easy for Z to get to his spots. I think Z just feels no deterrence at the rim when, you know, it's Sabonis down there, and they don't really have the big bodies outside of Sabonis to really make it tough for him to get to the rim. And I think the same thing's true for B.I. They don't really have the bodies to kind of keep him from getting to his spots. So I think if both of those guys are healthy and playing well, I think the Pelicans should be in a really good position to win this game again. But I think the big thing is just how can they kind of bottle a box? I think that's the driving force for everything the Kings do. If he's able to get to the rim, hit some of those little short middies, get to the free throw line, I think it ignites everybody else. So I think that's going to be the key is Herb Jones and Dyson Daniels really putting the pressure on him, forcing him to take tough shots. And I think something you didn't see last night that you want to see more with the Pelicans is forcing turnovers, getting in transition, kind of opening up the floor. When we see, you know, things slow down in the half court, that's fine. But when this team is playing at their best is when they're getting out in the break and getting those easier shots. And I think they've been able to do that against Fox, forcing turnovers on him. And that just kind of fuels everybody else. So I think that's going to be the big thing, is really putting the pressure on Fox and getting him to turn the ball over so you can get everybody else out in the open court.
And that's a very good point. Just two blocks and four steals last night in the game against the Lakers. We've seen those numbers be very higher, right, with the Pels defense in the past.
Yeah, I mean, eight turnovers for the Lakers is, yeah, that definitely stands out on the stat sheet for sure.
Yeah, and a couple of those were like offensive fouls, right, where it's not even you're allowed to get on the break. Right?
Yeah.
It's just a stoppage in the game. So it wasn't, like you said, there's only four steals last night, which is very un-Pelicans-like.
Will, final thing for you, sir. You're not done working because tonight you have the Heat and the 76ers playing in the 7th-8th game at 6 o'clock this evening. We know what the Heat normally do. I kind of feel like it's a little different this year, and then Embiid's back with the 76ers. How do you see this one going in Philly?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup. Joel Embiid getting back healthy. The Sixers trying to kind of be the team that the Heat were last year, right, to come out of the play-in and try to make a deep run into the playoffs. I think, once again, man, we're going to have the same conversation of can Heat culture arise? You know, they're at the biggest moments of the season. Can playoffs Jimmy kind of show up? I think in the past we've seen play-in Jimmy not be quite as much as playoff Jimmy, so we'll see how he reacts tonight. You know, he's got a history with Philly, and he's played in that city and played with Joel Embiid, so how much he's going to want to show up and kind of spoil their party. I think it's going to be interesting. But, you know, it's obvious. But Joel Embiid, if he comes out and he looks like 35-point, 15-rebound Joel Embiid, I really don't think the Heat have much of an answer for him, man. Frankly, I don't think anybody really has an answer for that guy. So if he can come out and look like himself, I think the Sixers should probably walk. But if not, you know, the Heat, they're like Jason, man. They'll walk you down, even if you think you got away. They'll figure it out. And I think it's going to be really tough for them not having Terry Rozier out there. But they are getting Duncan Robinson back, so that'll give them a little bit of floor spacing. But Jimmy's got to show up. Bam's got to show up. And they got to find a way to make things tough on Joel Embiid.
It's interesting. You got two members of the summer team for Team USA going to the Olympics. You got Embiid and you got Bam Adebayo going at it again tonight, too.
Yeah, and two of the best centers in the game. And Bam Adebayo, one of the best defensive centers in the game. Even though he lacks size compared to Joel Embiid, we know he's going to make some things tough. And that's another team that loves to force turnovers, get out on a break. So if they can do that, I think that'll give confidence to everybody, you know, around Jimmy and Bam as well.
At Will Guillory is the way to give a follow over there on X, the NBA writer for The Athletic, covers your Pelicans and the Heat and everything else, man. Thank you so much, as always, for your time, sir, and I will see you on Friday.
Yeah, man, everybody just remember the world's not over. You can go out and enjoy the day, get some crawfish, snowball, or something. It'll be all right.
It is interesting. Today is National Crawfish Day.
Is it really?
It really honestly is. There you go.
That's a reason to celebrate.
I didn't even know that.
I'm going to go get some crawfish. Thank you, Will. Appreciate the time, bud.
Thanks, Will.
All right, talk to you guys later.
All right, Jim, as always, thanks to Will Guillory for joining us. It's always a pleasure to chat with him, and I like how you said that. Go enjoy some crawfish today. Go relax. You have 2 days. I think it was very key how he started that conversation in talking about the canter or the mood, right, of the locker room. And and you and I know this. We've done this a long time. We've been in many a locker room. Yep. I know exactly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I still remember the day after Tyson Chandler got traded, what that right. locker room felt mm-hmm. like. Byron Scott, I had no idea. Chris Paul, what? David Wett, looking at us. You know when a locker room knows before you know. And the fact that the rest of the team was talking about plays, Zion himself was talking about the game with other players. Again, I'm not saying he's playing Friday. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't come across to me. Now, I know that's before the imaging. I get it. But you know what I'm saying. A right. player knows, Jim. A player knows mm-hmm. when, uh-oh. Right. Sure. Right. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, I guess all
at
we
this
can,
point, I'm going to take anything positive. You know what yeah, I'm saying? I mean, that sounds positive to me.
Right. All we can do is kind of keep our fingers crossed and hope that the news is as good as it possibly can be. And just go from there. But you're right. I mean, hopefully, I mean, that was one of the reasons, you know, we had Will Guillory scheduled to be on today before any of this stuff happened. But I was glad that we got him on because I feel like his perspective on the situation was really good in terms of what he observed after the game and just kind of his impressions of the vibe that he saw in the locker room. So hopefully that will translate to that we get good news at some point on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So part of that communications dump that came out last night between 12 and 12:30 was the schedule. And part of that schedule is OKC versus the 8 seed. That's what the Kings and Pels will be playing for on Friday. Mm-hmm. Game one will be on Sunday. And then there's
an extra day.
Yeah. Here.
You know, one of the things that the NBA has to do when they make the playoff schedule is they have to – the biggest factor, I think, in terms of how far apart – series are spread, and I don't want to get too complicated and confusing here, but a lot of times if it's a series where they know the teams are further apart geographically that have to travel, they try to build in more off days between game two and game three because of the you need an extra day to travel. Like, for example, Dallas and the Clippers, they have them playing. You want to have more days to travel, so the series will be closer. The games in the first two games will be closer together. You know, if New Orleans plays Oklahoma City, which we hope happens, it's a very short trip, so you don't need as many travel days in between. So, I mean, that's part of it. I don't know if that exactly translated to this. It may be more the case in the later part of that series that, like, game three, four, five, and six, I think, are all only one day in between games. So if it is New Orleans versus Oklahoma City, that makes sense in terms of two teams that don't have to travel that far. It's really the series where they know that there's going to be a lot of long flights where they try to build in more time for the travel day. So I think that might be part of how the schedule for Oklahoma City is lined up. But obviously the league also doesn't know whether the opposing team is going to be Sacramento or New Orleans. So that makes it tough. But just a minor note on, because I know people wonder sometimes, like, why the heck are there so many days between games? And part of it too is that they want to maximize how many games they get on national TV. So as a result of that, a lot of times you'll move a game either up a day or back a day just so that you can get a different game on TNT that everyone can watch.
Yeah, I am with you. And of course, all of the different matchups were kind of set in stone in terms of days and stuff. We're still waiting to see. I looked at the Eastern Conference 7, 8, 9, 10, and then their 8 seeds going to be before the Pelicans coming up and all that. So all of that's still going to be to be determined and stuff. But when you look at the Western Conference playoff picture, we got some interesting matchups. I said this on my talk show yesterday. I don't know, because I know there's a lot of people that go, oh, the Pels are still in the play-in. The Western Conference is so competitive. You mm-hmm. tell me if there's an easy matchup there. Right. Look, I mean, OKC, I think the Pels would be a fun matchup. Sacramento and OKC would be that. Everyone's calling Denver Lakers the Western Conference Finals already in round one. Ooh. You have the Clippers-Mavs series, which get ready for a ton of points coming in that situation there. So I just look at everything going on, man. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the matchups, everything is so interesting. And by the way, if there are people out there that are saying the Lakers-Nuggets is the Western Conference Finals, there's also a big contingent of other people that are saying, let's not even play the Western Conference playoffs then. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people expect the Nuggets to roll based on their success against the Lakers head-to-head. But I thought it would be interesting for Western Conference Wednesday to kind of rank the three matchups that we know so far. And I guess this is how I'll put it. If your neighbor is having a crawfish boil and you have to decide, do I go to the crawfish boil or do I stay inside and watch this matchup? How would you rank the three that are left? And to me, maybe this is a curveball to people, but I think Phoenix, Minnesota is number one on my list of these three series that are set that I want to watch. I think I'll go Lakers, Denver 2. And then I'll go 3 Mavs Clippers, only because I mean
3, really?
I'm only going with that because I feel like we've seen it before. Now, granted, this Mavericks team is definitely different and better, I think, than the ones from the previous two playoff series. But they played each other in 2020 and in 2021, and the Clippers won both times. It might be a different result. I just feel like that one's a little bit stale. But the fact that I picked that third, though, doesn't it just show how good these matchups are, how interesting these series are? Yeah. That, I mean, if you're going to pick 1-3, I guess I'll go with that. But what's your order, Gus?
I guess obviously the intrigue with the Nuggets and the Lakers, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, kind of like what we're going to see on Friday. I mean, can the Nuggets win a 9th straight game against the Lakers? It's sweet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Darvin Ham yesterday in the locker room here in New Orleans said, you know, we're not ducking any shade. We want all that smoke. They mm-hmm. want that. They're motivated. And Jim, look, that sets up Friday too. I'm sure Sacramento was very aware. And that's what they're going to be talking about on the flight all the way over here and understanding that and looking at it. So I think that's the beauty of this. As a fan of the NBA, and I did this obviously before I joined you guys and had the interest that you do for the Pels, I love the first round of the playoffs. You sit down and there's 4 games on the weekend. Mm-hmm. There's at least 2 a night back to back, maybe even 3 every single weekday. My wife can't stand it. My kid is begging for Disney Junior. And I'm like, that's remote mine. But it is going to be fun. But I heard this nationally, and I'll ask you, and we'll wrap up. Can anyone win any of those series? Can you make an argument? Like, can you make an argument the Pels could beat OKC? Mm. Can you make the argument that Denver or LA can beat one another? Can you make the argument that doubt. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't really feel that there's a prohibitive favorite in any of those possible series.
And I think that's the difference between, or one of the differences between the West and the East. Is
no
that
doubt.
As you get further down the ladder in the East, you start to run into a lot more teams that either didn't even have good regular seasons, but they made it into the play-in, or teams that don't have a lot of experience, and this is the first time that they've been in the playoffs, and we're kind of up and down. I think Orlando kind of fits that category. Cleveland, to some extent as well, is a team that's had two pretty good seasons in a row, but they didn't have much success in the playoffs at all last season against the Knicks. So, but you get further down the ladder in the West, and you're talking about the 10th-seeded Golden State Warriors, who got knocked out already. So I think that's the difference is just there's when you say anyone can win any of these series, the reason for that is because the 7th, 8th, 9th best teams in the West are just so much better in a lot of ways than their counterparts on the East side. And by the way, too, as we go into this weekend, watching Golden State get knocked out too reminded me, and hopefully this comes into play with the Pelicans, is just the importance of not being in the 9-10 game. They just had such a bad performance last night, and their season's over. The good thing for the Pelicans is that they still get another chance after they had a first loss.
No doubt. So this is where we are here on this Wednesday morning, almost afternoon now. We wait to see the latest. Well, Guillory said the spirits seemed better than you would think after an injury like that. Tough loss, no doubt, but you still have an opportunity. Look, there's probably people that would make the case and argument it's probably the better matchup for the Pelicans in that case. And the other thing, as Jim just went over, it is a very spread out first round against OKC. If he can't play Zion on Friday and you win, and he's not ready on Sunday, can he play on that Wednesday, which would be game two? If he doesn't get ready to come back maybe until the third game, that first home game, and you could steal one on the road, which the Pels play very well. Jim, it's almost a week and a half because he got injured Tuesday.
Right, right.
The first home game would be the following Saturday. Yeah, so I have to say, like, if there's I'm trying to find the silver linings here because if it's a slight pull or something, I don't know. But if it's something that he can work back in within a week or something of that nature, or get on the court because he provides grab, whatever, I don't know. I'm just looking at it as positive as I possibly can. You're not having to play like you did at the end of the regular season, 3 games in 4 days. That's not the case here. You're going to play literally 2 games or 3 games in a week.
Right. Yeah, the lead time between if they win Friday and Sunday is not very much, but after that, it certainly is. And then but after that, you do have a couple expanded breaks before you play games, and like you said earlier, that game 3 at home isn't even until the 27th, which is a long time from now. It's kind of funny to think of how far off that is from now.
And look, and again, I know we're looking ahead, but it's something we're not going to come back to after Friday and then Monday if that happens and you win, but it is going to be a tough turnaround. OKC's been resting for a week, but you have 2 days to then come back and try to steal game two. And in the postseason, it is the adage of adages. It is the sayings of sayings. Steal one game on the road. That is it. If you can do that, it's a series. You always hear that, right?
Sure.
If you can come home 1-1, it's a series.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that, right? Hey, game one's going to be tough. I mean, you've had to really battle this week to try to get in if you get in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get in, let's see what happens Sunday. Now, it is a very late game. You do have all Sunday to kind of rest up there as well.
Right,
I think it's one
right.
of the, I think it's mm-hmm. the last game.
It is the last game.
Yeah, it's the last game at 8:30. So that's a late tip. And then you have 2 full days, Monday, Tuesday, and then you play Wednesday. So we saw the difference between Sunday and Tuesday with this team. They looked fresher. They looked more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
They looked better yesterday than they did Sunday because they got their legs under them. So if I'm a Pels fan, look, let's go take care of business Friday. 3rd time's the charm. 6th time's the charm. And then I let's see what happens in that first round. But you got to get there first.
Yeah, I mean, let's just hope that we see that. I feel like a first round series against Oklahoma City would be a lot of fun for a lot of reasons. I mean, that's such an interesting team with a bunch of young talent. Their first chance to be in the playoffs with that group, really kind of this Pelicans' second chance to be there. But a bunch of the Pelicans players are much further along in their career than they were 2 years ago, including 3 of the guys that were rookies against the Phoenix Suns in 2022 and now have made a bunch of big steps in their career. So let's just hope we can see that. And I know on Friday we'll be talking more about the Sacramento game, and we're planning to have a radio roundtable as well. So we'll be having some more fun, and then hopefully very late on Friday night we'll have a good outcome and we'll be able to talk more about the OKC series.
By the way, I have a Little League game at 7. At 6, sorry. 6. So I got a...
On Friday?
Yes. I got a Little League game. It's an hour, 15 minutes, too. So
okay.
Hopefully we need a 15-run rule the other team or get 15-run ruled. And then I got to somehow make it to the... So, yeah, it's going to be like one of those things where I'm going from one thing to another. It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. So maybe it'll help take away the nerves. Look, no, it's what you want, man. Look, you earn the right to be at home. Go take care of your business. Let's see what happens.
For sure.
Thank you to Will Guillory. Thank you to Jim Eichenhofer. I'm Gus Cattingill. Thank you for tuning us in to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.